We're going to talk now about elementary education and the role that the arts can play there. And we'll start with a true success story about the remarkable turnaround of the Orchard Garden School in Roxbury.
Orchard Gardens is one of the 8 pilot schools across the country that have been named a turnaround art school by President Obama's Committee on the Arts and Humanities. Meghna recently visited the school and has more of this story.
Guys, don't forget to hold up your work from a distance, okay? It's like seeing it for the first time. You need to hang it up. You need to walk away from it. You got to look out the window and then look at it. It's like seeing it for the first time. And for those of you that are still doing your faces,
we're in the 8th grade visual arts classroom led by teacher Chris Plunkett. Today, it's marvelous. Student pencil and charcoal sketches of violins cover one wall. Graffiti-inspired street art hangs on another wall. Red, blue, and yellow paint splatter the floors and the desks.
Jason, you all set over there?
And to see just how far this school has come, we have to go back to what the school was like just a few years ago. So first, some numbers. Orchard Gardens is a big K-8 school, 900 students. Half are English language learners. 90% come from low-income families. The school was struggling, and the kids never tested well. Based on those scores, 4 years ago, Orchard Gardens was named one of the 5 worst schools in all of Massachusetts.
Particularly, if you saw that from far away, if you're not excited about it already, you're going to be excited about it. It looks amazing.
But to really understand how bad things once were, you have to talk to the kids themselves.
Dynamite. It looks like you from close up, too.
Mr. Plunkett introduces me to 15-year-old Kevon Little. The lanky teenager has been an Orchard Garden student since kindergarten.
You're in 8th grade?
Yes.
Okay. And what was it like before, when you were in elementary school?
It was like the teachers really didn't care for us, so it was just hard for the students to, like, be able to move on and learn new things. So it was like, it's either we by ourselves do it or we're not doing it at all.
A couple of girls sitting behind Kevon giggle. One of them says, he sounds professional. The other girl is 14-year-old Jackie Monterosa.
Like, teachers didn't put enough effort into the job.
And what's it like for you now?
Teachers care about you more. I feel like
Now, to me, the fact that Jackie couldn't even find the words was the most eloquent expression of the scant love and respect students used to feel coming from their teachers. And little wonder, because this is one description of what Orchard Gardens was like 4 years ago.
A culture of security with multiple security staff.
That's Principal Andrew Bott, who waits for us outside Mr. Plunkett's classroom.
The walkie-talkie culture of, you know, 6 staff members going around the school, communicating about kids with walkie-talkies, basically chasing kids down throughout the day.
All that changed when Principal Bott arrived in 2010.
In fact, on the first day of school, we had an assembly with a group of middle schoolers. And somebody at that assembly said, I just want to let you guys know I'm really excited to be here. And the kids started mocking her, just yelling out, "You're lying. Nobody wants to be here. You know, tell us the truth." I mean, it struck both the person who said that and everyone else in the room as, wow, kids get it. You know, this was not a dysfunction that was above the heads of or beyond the kids. You know, our middle school students knew exactly what was going on.
Andrew Bott is young. He's in his 30s. His close-cropped hair is starting to go a little gray. The navy blue Orchard Garden shirt he's wearing, just like every single one of his students, is snug enough to reveal a little pudge around the waist. But the most striking thing about Bott is his bright, clear, powder blue eyes that radiate kindness, focus, and pride as we walk down Orchard Garden's bright yellow halls.
So when you walk into the school, I mean, we have a 2-story rotunda, and you see artwork that was produced, murals that were produced with local artists and students.
In 2010, Orchard Gardens was named one of a dozen so-called turnaround schools in Boston. The designation is important because it unlocked $4 million in federal funding, and more crucially, it gave Bott the freedom to make dramatic changes not possible in other public schools. and he did just that. Bott wanted to change the culture of the school, so he extended the school day, and he replaced 80% of the teachers. He brought in new staff, all of whom agreed to get rid of the walkie-talkie-toting security guards. And they helped design the arts-centered curriculum evident in every classroom we visit in the school. So where are we headed?
So we are headed into the music room, and we're headed in as a group of fifth graders, and they do a combination of band and choral work, and it looks like they're doing choral work right now.
Everybody else is an audience member. That means you're not talking, you're not chewing your popcorn, you're not on your cell phone, you're not, you know, right?
Who's the teacher here?
Kelly DeGrazia.
And how long has she been here?
She's been here for 3 years.
It's a daunting task when kids haven't played an instrument before, learning how to put it together, learning how to keep it clean, learning how to take it apart, and not to mention actually learning how to read music and perform. Everybody wants to be a good
student. We headed over to eighth grade now?
Yeah, we'll head upstairs. They're not quite into their art class yet. We're about to have a school transition. At 10:20.
What time is it now?
It's just before 10:20.
Okay, so I'm going to just take a second to change my battery back. Thank you.
And what you see at the end of this hallway is actually a group of first graders working on reading fluency with one another, with their teacher and their student teacher.
I'll grind his bones to make my bread.
It's theater. It's a Jack and the Beanstalk story, but it's... What you hear in this is you hear kids who are reading fluently, they're reading on grade level, and if you were to ask them what is happening, they have a full comprehension of what they're reading. So it's about the theater, but it's about reading.
Reading and the confidence to demonstrate.
Right.
Out loud.
Right. But I think that's what, you know, when you think about why in a school that's so struggling, we made the decision to have so much money invested in the arts, when, you know, sort of your gut reaction would be, I need to do even more math and I need to do even more reading. The kids are learning how to gain confidence in something that's really hard for people. I mean, that most adults are unwilling to get on stage and read, recite lines, perform, sing, share what they're learning. I mean, that's an incredibly hard skill. So when you teach kids how to do that and how to have the confidence to do that, you then can carry it over into a math class. You know, you can actually see the success faster with the trumpet than you can with algebra, but you can make the connections for the kids. You know, so, hey, remember, you know, how you stuck with it even though when every noise was coming out wrong...
We're interrupted by a surprise. It's not just the applause, but it's the fact that two classrooms of first graders, more than 40 kids, had been sitting so quietly watching their classmates perform.
I said we're going to cut through the crowd. Wow, I didn't even know all you guys were there. You were
such
an awesome audience. Wow.
We got dozens of kids sitting up on the stairs.
Hello, Mr.
How are you? Marcel, I'm coming to read that journal.
As we make our way up to the middle school classrooms, we walk by a board filled with pictures of Cesar Chavez, Martin Luther King, and Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor. Show courage, reads the banner at the top of the board. And at the end of the hall, another mural, one that's on every floor of the school.
By the way, I'm looking over your shoulder at a painting on the wall here near one of the exits, and it's a lion saying, every student, every day, college bound.
Yeah, we...
They're getting that message a lot.
A lot, and we've actually put this up a lot of places in the school. It's about doing stuff now that gives you opportunity and choice down the road.
Now, there's no doubt that Orchard Gardens has changed in the past 3 years, but it's time to ask the crucial question about results. Today, where schools are measured by performance numbers, by one metric, Orchard Gardens still has a long way to go. The school's spring 2012 MCAS proficiency levels still lag significantly behind state averages in every category and grade. But if you look at another set of numbers, specifically the rate of improvement in student scores, Orchard Gardens really shines.
So in terms of growth, over the last 2 years, our combined English and math growth puts us in the top 2% of the state. We're in the top 1% of the state for growth in math and the top 6% in English.
Okay.
You know, we're closing the gap.
There's that flash of pride again in Bott's blue eyes. But the question now is whether that improvement can be sustained. The school's $4 million in federal grants runs out at the end of this month. But Bott is confident that the school can stay on track because of his brand new staff and its commitment to reform.
The decision for me came about, what do I need to do to build a staff that completely buys into this vision that we can transform a school with our same exact students without changing our student body one bit. And that was the reason I sort of went so far beyond that 50%. To close to 80%.
And then there's the issue of scale. Can the Orchard Gardens model work in other schools? Schools where there's no Andrew Bott, no additional federal funding, no power to change 80% of the staff.
I think that it is absolutely achievable at multiple schools. I think that what it's going to take is it's going to take leadership, support of leadership, our elected officials, officials in the school departments, school committees, to say, here's this grand experiment of turnarounds that we had, 11 schools in Boston, we had additional money, we had additional autonomies. What has worked in these schools? And now how do we take that to all the students of Boston? I mean, it can happen. I mean, the question is, are we as a community going to fight to make it happen?
Feels so good to be learning, yeah.
Andrew Bott is the principal of the Orchard Garden School in Roxbury. Let us know what you think about how this school is turning around at radioboston.org.
And stay with us. When we come back, we're going to take a close look at a new report on the impact of expanding arts education in public schools. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.